We're here with Joe Courtney, who is Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District, in office since 2007. There's been a lot of talk about how prepared America is to deal with external threats. You are on the House Committee on Armed Services, and you're a member of the Subcommittee on Readiness. And I'm wondering, what's the latest thinking on readiness?
So, and I'm also ranking on sea power, which obviously,
right.
The Navy is a big piece of that.
It is, and
question.
So are the submarines that are built in your district.
That's right. So I'm not as, gloom and doom as some of the folks that you hear saying the sky is falling. I do think that, the inability of this Congress to address the Budget Control Act sequestration handcuffing that we gave ourselves back in 2011 has had an impact in terms of readiness, because we did go through a period of time when the full sort of chainsaw of sequestration did cut into the military, and
yeah.
We did have a shutdown that really did impact military sort of planning and scheduling and operations, which all go into the readiness sort of equation in terms of things being, on standby. And if you talk to the witnesses or listen to the witnesses that have appeared before our committee, that's the one thing that they really point to in terms of what's really, hindered training, whether it's pilots, ships at sea, and in terms of, personnel sort of, a horizon for personnel that they really could, incorporate in terms of making sure that, all the different parts of the national defense puzzle are filled. And so so that's on Congress, in my opinion, that we haven't done. President Obama came out with budgets to deal with sequestration year in and year out. And, like any budget, it wasn't perfect. But the fact is that it lifted the caps, and we would not have some of the sort of hangover from the fact that we, had these periods of real harm in sequestration and the shutdown. So that's, I would say, number one. I think that, when you step back and look at when I first came to Congress in 2007, we had over 200,000 troops deployed overseas, a ton of other contractors. The pace of deployments was a killer. My first trip to Iraq in May of 2007, President Bush had just announced that deployments were extended from 12 months to 15 months, which I got to tell you, the morale and the impact of those soldiers that I met in Baghdad was just devastated in terms of that. I mean, you fast forward to today, our ground forces, there's about 7,000, 8,000 in Afghanistan, and it's roughly about 3,000 or 4,000 in Iraq. I mean, the pace of deployment in terms of wearing out, the military is just not even close to what it was 10 years ago. And that's a good thing, in terms of folks being here to get trained up and to, give them the opportunity to, really focus on other issues other than just, counterterrorism in the middle of the Middle East.
So Joe, sorry to interrupt, but is this all about the fact that the Republicans don't like sequestration when it comes to the defense budget, but they do like it because that's the
absolutely.
Base of compromise when it comes to domestic spending?
Right. And again, the president, when he dealt with sequestration, it was across the board for education, job training, environment, the domestic area as well as the military. And what everyone thought when the sequestration sword was put into place was that would force the Republicans to compromise on the domestic side, and it would force some of the Democrats to, compromise on the military side. But unfortunately, you've had the Freedom Caucus, who were more than happy to sacrifice both. And that's really where I think that caught everyone off guard in 2013 when the government shut down, is that no one thought anyone would really, do that and allow sequestration to go into effect. Graham Rudman, were the grandfathers of sequestration. Phil Graham gave a speech right around the same time saying it was never the intention of sequestration to actually have it go into effect.
Right.
It was supposed to be an incentive to get people to compromise.
It was a game of chicken.
Correct.
Yeah.
So in any case, on the Navy side, real quick, one of the, I think, undertold stories is that President Obama has doubled the number of ships under contract during his 8 years compared to George W. Bush's prior 8 years. The shipbuilding sector is actually in a pretty strong place right now in terms of hiring. If you look at the fleet, it's about 278 right now in terms of ships and subs. The target is to get it over 300, and we're on track to do that. I mean, I think Democrats sometimes should remember that, you know, Franklin Roosevelt was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, you know, in World War One, and John F. Kennedy obviously was a strong Navy guy, as well as Jimmy Carter. This sort of urban legend that Democrats have, you know, hollowed out the fleet is a demonstrably false. If you look at the shipbuilding record President Obama has accumulated, and Democrats have a long tradition of supporting a strong Navy.
So there you are on the Long Island Sound. And I wanted to ask you, I only got 3 minutes to do it in, but I wanted to ask you about whether there are signs of climate change in the Sound itself.
Absolutely. I mean, if you go back to the Revolutionary War days, we had a very robust fishing fleet in places like Stonington and New London. And, everything from shellfish to, whitefish to groundfish were, big sort of part of the local economy. You go to, that area today, the lobster catch has dwindled down to just an almost shockingly small number of lobsters. And we're now seeing fish from the Mid-Atlantic now populating our area. They've migrated north. And you talk to the people up in Maine, that's where all the lobster now are definitely clustered up there. Mm-hmm. So again, just in a real simple, basic way is that, Mother Nature is changing because of the fact that the temperatures of the water have changed. And there's NOAA satellite maps that show, the heat, the thermal impact that's been happening over the last 20 years or so. It's quite astonishing in terms of how swift it's been, but it's really been for the fishing guys, the fleet that are down there are great people. They've really had to kind of come up with different strategies in terms of what they're fishing for, and obviously trying to get the regulatory process in terms of catch limits to adjust and be in sync with what's happening out there in the water.
Now, as an old Fire Islander, a minute and 30 seconds to go, there are gaps on Fire Island now. What happens if Fire Island disappears?
I mean, it's these are questions we really should be focused on right now instead of, the ridiculous debate about whether or not climate change is even happening. And again, it's everywhere. I mean, it's right in Long Island Sound. It's in Colorado, with fires.
It's in the Pacific.
So it's just it's sad that we can't have that. This is the real issue of the campaign rather than whether or not Secretary Clinton should have taken a day off the campaign trail to take care of her walking pneumonia. But I mean, that's just it's not going to change in the next 45 days.
Well, Joe Courtney, there's one thing I'm sure of, and that is we think you're great. And we are so grateful for your showing up and talking to us about all these big problems, and they are big problems. Thanks. I can't wait till the next time you come around.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks, Alan.